Hi everyone and welcome to another episode of the Alami Podcast, Change Your Company. This episode is a special one because I will be reflecting on the journey I've been on since I started the podcast. I hope that the podcast has been giving you some inspiration and insights on your journey of leadership, on your journey of making impact within your area of responsibility. The purpose of this podcast has been always to help leaders like you to make bigger impact, to engage their people, to align their people, to connect them for a mission, for higher standards, and of course, to create a great workplace and achieve high performance. I still remember when I started the journey, how it was very challenging, how I wanted to get to know or learn about podcasting. I needed to learn about how to pick the right microphone, and I still remember when I went and I started to look at different equipments to help me with the podcasting. I still remember how I went and I started to look at how I can make the edits on the podcast episodes, on the files, and I still remember how this has been very challenging, and I learned it step by step, and I still remember also how the first episode, which was all about introducing the podcast, its purpose and mission, and a little bit about my background and why I'm doing it. And I still remember how many takes it took me to be able to have one good quality, at least a good starting point for a first episode. And I really, it was rewarding. It was rewarding to go there and to do it to feel that, okay, this represents actually the purpose, and it represents also the values that this podcast is about and its message. So after the first episode, I, of course, started to look for guests for my podcast, and my first guest was Mr. Isa Saleh, who is the ex-CEO of Agility Global Integrated Logistics, a company of 20,000 employees, in having offices in 100 countries. And he took the helm of GIL, Global Integrated Logistics, of Agility, at a very young age. And he managed to create a great culture. He managed to integrate these organizations together to make it a multi-billion dollar company. But also he managed to create one culture. He managed to create one vision and strategy, and aligning people around it was so powerful. So I had this conversation with him where I picked him up. We went for a ride in my car, and I asked him different questions, and then we went to his place and we continued the conversation. And I still remember at the end of it how I felt like I just jumped from an airplane. I never saw that interviewing would be that challenging. I felt like I was, things went very fast, and I wasn't sure if I was saying the right thing. I was listening enough. I needed to pay attention to the camera. I needed to pay attention to the microphone. I wanted to ensure that the recording is working. So all this like happening at the same time. And when I finished, I was like, I don't know how it went. Luckily, it went okay, and the recording was saved, and also, of course, the interview was, for me, very inspiring. I got a lot of insights from it, and it was great. He shared with me how he created the team, how he, together with the team, created like this engagement and alignment. And what I liked about him was when he was sharing with me, Isa, about his journey and the way they solved and dealt with the challenges, how it's not the way, it's a way. And he was very humble, very reflective. And actually, it reminded me of an experience I had with him, because he was very supportive of the work of driving organizational development, of developing people in my previous role. And I remember once I went to him with a challenge and I talked with him, And he listened. He asked me questions, and I needed his help to in this challenge. And by the time I left the office, I didn't care about if he would help me or not. I cared more about the fact that he really listened to me. He really listened, and he was taking notes, and he showed me that he really cared. And this was, for me, a great example of a great leadership. So this was first episode or first interview, the second episode. And then I had another interview with one of my mentors, actually, Mr. Steve Dichter, who is the ex-COO of Agility GIL also. But he was also with McKinsey for 20 years. He founded the Change Management Center, and which was all about implementing change in organization, implementing new strategies. And he shared with me how when he went to Harvard, he noticed that it was more focused on this the individuals instead of like teams. And when he went to McKinsey, how it was more focused on providing recommendations and strategies, but not paying attention enough on the execution of this, and which made him actually dedicate his work and his life for this mission. And of course, he worked with many companies, helping them developing this engagement around strategies, around the mission and vision of organizations. And again, I was fascinated again listening to his reflections on his journey. And the next episode was with Professor Heidi Gardner from Harvard. We talked about collaboration, and we talked about smart collaboration. And she shared with me how when people collaborate, there are so many research which shows that collaborating together, it leads to higher performance. And she shared with me how understanding the differences that we have in terms of how we communicate, how we collaborate, it makes a big difference in improving collaboration. And that's what her tool, which is called Smart Collaboration, it helps. It helps you have more understanding. It helps you have more empathy of others. And it helps you also develop this relationship with others. So this was this third episode. After that, I had an interview with Mr. Rommel Sauber, who is he was ex-CEO of Expeditors for Europe and Middle East. And there, he actually built the presence of Expeditors in this region. And he was very passionate about people. He is a champion of creating great culture and being very crystal clear about the values that you, and behavior that you want people to live up to, and driving this home all the time. And I asked him a question, and I said, tell me something. What do you think is more challenging, creating an organization or building an organization or culture, or changing an organization or culture? And he told me, of course, it's changing. And of course, in his case, he managed, or he had experience working on both, changing and creating. So, and I, in a way, it was a great to get this confirmation, because from my work, I knew that it changing is more challenging, because you are dealing with people behavior, you are dealing with people habits, and you are trying to change the system in which people operate. So I still remember at the end of this interview how I was so excited. I felt so motivated, because his view on leading organizations is very similar to mine in terms of engaging people, motivating people, driving high performance through having a great culture. So after this, I had a great conversation with Professor Mike Beer from Harvard and the co-founder of TruePoint, a great consultancy company which does a lot of work on engaging people in the strategy process and the implementation process and the refinement of the strategy and development of the strategy. And I still remember what he told me. He told me, look, You can never change an organization with a mind only. You have to change organizations through the heart. You have to tap on the emotions of people, because this is how change gets implemented. And again, he shared with me this the strategic fitness process, which is all about involving a task force in developing that strategy by going throughout the organization and getting feedback from people across functions and layers in the organization, and coming back to the senior leadership and sharing with them the outcome to refine the strategy and to implement it later. So it's a great approach, which is, it really resonates also with the work, again, I've been driving on a large scale within organization. And it's all about making people own the change, make people own the strategy and the commitment toward making it happen. This was the interview with Professor Mike Beer. After that, I had this great conversation with Mr. Stefano Aversa from Alex Partners. And I love that conversation too, because it has a different angle on change and driving high performance. Alex Partners specialize in a turnaround. And when I talked with Stefano, I asked him about how to lead in crisis. And he told me how you need to take quick decisions. You cannot afford spending too much time doing so much analysis. You want to ensure that you get fast toward the first decision and action that need to take place in order to save the organization and the people in it. So I still remember also how he shared with me about when he approached new problems, he likes to approach them with a new mindset. He resists this idea of taking what he learned before and try to project it on the problem. I love this way, which is being open, having this mindset of continuous learning when approaching new challenges throughout your leadership journey. The next episode was with a consultant, great consultant, Larry Miller, Lawrence Miller. I got to know Larry through some courses on Udemy. He has a great courses there. They are really very, very low priced, and they have a lot of great insights. So I connected with him, and we had this conversation. He told me about how he started his journey by making change in a prison, and how he managed to change the system in the prison by doing some different initiatives, and how this changed the way the prisoners behaved, which was so inspiring. How it became more positive, it was more focused on improving their behaviors and helping them being prepared to go to the outside world and be better citizens, being better people. So this was the conversation with Larry Miller. And again, I highly recommend his courses on Udemy. The next conversation was with one of my heroes, Toby Switzer. He was CEO of Agility Defense and Government Business. And he developed and led an organization which was responsible for over $1 billion. And what's great about his leadership style, how he created great culture, you can feel the sense of pride when you walk in the corridor of the offices of his organization. I used to work there. I used to visit the offices, and I can feel the pride and also the perfection when you looked at the warehouses, how they were so organized. The KPIs of the warehouses was very high, almost 99% on many different levels. And when I asked him about how did he manage to achieve this great results, he told me, look, I was not looking at the KPIs. I was always reminding people of the mission that we are on, reminding people of the purpose, and the KPIs took care of themselves. I was like, wow, this is very inspiring indeed. He shared with me how in his background, where he was working and collaborating with people from different functions. He was rotating, actually. And he was part of a program which would go spend some time in every department. And how this experience made him understand the importance of bringing people together and involving people, even from supportive departments, which usually don't get involved in some meetings. He wanted to ensure that everyone is aware to what's going on and is well in advance knowing what the company will be doing, whether in operation, whether in sales, etc. So again, it was a great conversation. And after that, I had another inspiring conversation with Professor Russ Eisenstadt, and he's also the co-founder of TruePoint and the co-founder of the Center for Higher Ambition Leadership. He wrote a lot of articles which were published in Harvard Business Review and a few books. And his view on the importance of driving high performance while at the same time creating great workplace, driving high engagement and motivation and the development of people is inspiring. I still remember when I asked him, well, how come when you talk about the leaders who are obsessed about result on the expense of everything else, they don't care that much about the people, you are not that maybe angry or upset about it or about them? And he told me, that's a good question. I think because I have empathy for them, because they are under so much pressure, and I want to be more compassionate towards them. So they are human beings also. And this was also very inspiring for me because, for me, when I look at this, I look at some leaders who would want to drive results at the expense of anything, I feel a little bit maybe angry about it. I feel like a little bit, why wouldn't they ensure that they still care or do something to take care of the softer aspect of the organization, which need to be maintained and sustainable for the long term? So, yeah, this was about the conversation with Professor Russ Eisenstadt. The next conversation was with Professor Richard Jolly. We talked about leading confident organization. We talked about engaging people. He gave me so many examples about the importance of involving people throughout the organization. He told me how Jack Welch introduced a workout in GE, and which was a great initiative to involve people in problem solving, in innovation, in improvement. And what I liked about this interview is not just his passion for the topic and his insights and expertise about it, but also the way he communicated, the way he shared like the stories and examples and analogies with so much clarity. Like, you can get every single concept and you can relate it to a real life situation in a leadership experience. So I still remember also when I finished this interview how excited I was. And the next conversation was with the ex-global CEO of Nestle Nutrition, Mr. Nandu Nankichor. And there also, we went live actually on LinkedIn, and we had a lot of interaction going there. So we talked about how leaders could lead in crisis, and we talked about challenging times. And he told me something which I will never forget. He said, look, failure is so precious, you don't want to waste it. Failure is so precious, you don't want to waste it. Every time you fail, pick yourself up, learn, and keep going. It's an asset on your journey to make an impact, to make a difference. And I still also remember when I had the pre-call with him, we talked about the interview and what we're going to discuss. And I saw him, he was just walking all the time. And I asked him, do you walk all the time, like it was at his place? And he said, yes, I take all my phone calls walking, and I walk around 17 kilometers a day. And it really inspired me to go there and to start taking all my phone calls. If it's not a Zoom call, I take them while walking. And it's interesting how when you add the steps together, how you're more active, and of course, it adds energy to yourself by doing so. So the next episode was with Mr. Hossein Wahbi, who is a CEO of Fetcher, a tech transportation company. I love that conversation. We talked about positive leadership. Hossein is a great leader who is very passionate about people, about being positive, about appreciating, about promoting, about developing people and talents and recognizing them, also publicly, even in the outside world, outside the organization. And he's an example of that. He does this on a regular basis, on a daily basis, actually, and he shared this on LinkedIn, his view on leadership and management. But he also recognized great examples of great behavior, which is so inspiring. And the last episode which was published was with Bretton Potter, and he's the CEO of Culture Gene, and also the author of a couple of books on culture. We talked about the importance of culture. We talked about the importance of being very clear about what kind of behavior you want to have in your organization. And it's not what's written in the books. It's not what's written in the on the posters. It's really what's engraved in people's hearts and minds, and the behavior that you continuously reward, and the behavior which you make it clear that it's not acceptable in the organization. And especially during crisis, especially during the time we've been going through, it's very critical to ensure that people understand what we stand for at an organization. So these were the highlights of this episode. We had the 14 episodes, and I'm so excited about the next ones. There are a couple of them, actually, which have been recorded but still not published. We took a long break for Christmas and New Year and then the start of the year. So we are back. And again, there will be some more episodes. I will be pushing toward having the episodes more shorter, like 30 minutes, to keep them concise, and also make it more possible for all of you to listen to them on the go. And it could mean that some episode would be split into two parts, but I will be driving this, and I really hope that you can give us feedback on the podcast. If you haven't rated it, please do so. Leave a comment or write me an email, and my email address is fuad@alameinternational.com, fuad@alameinternational.com, or fuadmalame@gmail.com. And please share feedback, maybe about this episode, maybe overall, but also if you need help to drive, you know, people engagement, to develop your people on a large scale. Actually, if you are a leader of 5 people or 5,000 people or 50,000 people, if you need help on how to drive in change on a large scale, drive improvement on a large scale, how you can develop your people at scale and speed virtually, how you can improve the culture, how you can improve the, you know, the strategy implementation, please feel free to reach out. It's my passion, it's my mission, and I would love to get on a call and discuss with you some ideas which you can apply right away for your organization. So feel free to reach out. I really look forward to the next episode. I really look forward to continuing this journey together. And again, we are co-creating it, so your feedback is so precious. And I wish you the best on your leadership journey to make more impact, to drive higher engagement, higher motivation, create great workplace, which is continuously driving higher performance. I wish you the best, and until the next episode, take care.